Let's all stand. Open the Word of the Lord. I'm going to look at Matthew 27. Verses 27 through 31. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus unto the governor's residence and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe around him. And after braiding a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and kneeling down before him, they mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the staff and struck him repeatedly on the head. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes back on. Then they led him away to crucify him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to have your way in every heart and every mind, O God. Anoint me as your servant, O God, to be able to minister effectively here for your purpose, for the reason that you have called us together. Have your way in all that we do here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If I can have that picture up there. Maybe some of you have noticed that picture on my door. I want to talk this morning about costumes, uniforms, and suits. This painting, is Jenny here today? All right, good. Don't ask Jenny about anything I say, because she is an art historian, so she knows all about this. So if I get it wrong, she will know. This painting is The Blue Boy by Thomas Gainsborough around 1770. It's a full-length portrait in oil. And if you've been past my office, you know that I have this on my door, this picture. It's probably Gainsborough's most famous work, but it's a little bit... There's a little bit of a story behind it, and it's not all entirely clear, but most people believe that this portrait is he looks like he's some kind of, earl's son or some kind of royalty, and that's kind of the story behind it. It was made to look this way. But really, this young man, this boy, is actually the son of a wealthy hardware merchant. So he's kind of dressed above his station, if you will, in this costume that he's in a pastoral scene. So there's kind of a contradiction here of a couple of different levels, and it's apparent that Gainsborough did this on purpose, that he purposely had this boy dressed in a costume and painted him in this manner, because he was trying to make a couple of different points, and one of which was he was expressing, many believe, an attitude he had, or a competition he had with another painter who had some very strong opinions about color and portraits and how they ought to be done. But the Blue Boy was no royal. He was a merchant's son. And this picture, though it's a portrait of sorts, it's done in a pastoral scene. And that's why if you don't have to go look, but if you were to see on my office door, there's this picture's there, and it says looking pastoral. Because a lot of people look at that picture and they're wondering, because it's kind of a pastoral scene in the background. So the thing was that someone said to me when I was coming out of my office a little while ago, they said, "Huh, you're looking pastoral." And I'd already been working on this thought, and it just was, I had to tie it all together. But when you think about it, hopefully I was looking pastoral coming out of a pastor's office. I thought that would be a good thing in myself. But for this young man, he wasn't, he the pastoral scene was not his home. He was a merchant's son. He lived in probably in a city, in a larger area, and for him to first of all, to be dressed like this would be unusual. For him, this was a costume. And he was in a different kind of setting. A costume are clothes that are worn by someone, such as an actor, who's trying to look like a different person or thing. Or a costume is the clothes worn by a group of people during a particular time in the past. We dress in period costumes. We used to have old-fashioned Sunday, and people would try to see who would come up with the best costume. The text we read, the soldiers put Jesus in a costume. They thought they were doing something funny. They thought they were ridiculing him, but they did not know that they were actually robing him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as a royal, and it was actually fitting to who he was. They didn't really know who he was. A funny thing happens when people put on costumes. They hide their identity. They look different. You think about them differently immediately. I didn't see anyone take a picture. Brittany got it. Okay. By the way, I think this belongs to Sunday school. I don't know, but it happened to be in the room where we prayed before service, so that was, I think, a godsend. That was there. Sometimes people wear costumes on purpose because they want to act differently, because they want to pretend they're somebody they're not. Sometimes they wear costumes unknowingly. But, think about State Street on Halloween. People dress up and they do things they never would have done otherwise, because somehow, and there's a long history of masks or balls where people went in costumes and behaved differently and acted differently. The sad truth is, however, that some of us wear spiritual or emotional costumes. We're trying to be something we're really not. We go through life changing faces. We say we put on our different hats. I have my boss's hat on today, or I have my laborer's hat on today. But really, some people live their whole life that way. Changing faces, changing costumes. They live a chameleon lifestyle. Go to the nightclub on Thursday night and come into the church on Sunday morning and have a completely different costume on. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. I know that to some extent we all have we're a little different at home than we are in public, and we're a little different at church perhaps than we are at work. But there should be some, at least a correlation. It ought to be the same recognizable person. But unfortunately, too many of us are wearing costumes, pretending to be something we're not. We go through life changing our persona. Remember when Samuel came to visit David's household, he was going to anoint a king. And all of the sons of all of David's brothers came before Samuel, and Samuel said, "Nope, not him. Nope, not him. Nope, not him." And they all looked very like good material for a king, because if you remember, Saul was head and shoulders above all of Israel. He was a grand physical specimen, and that's what people were looking for, was an outward appearance of someone who could be. Be the man, be the leader, be the king. And when it was all done, the prophet said, "Don't you have another son somewhere?" And they said, "Well, David's out in the field. He's being pastoral." And when David came in, Samuel said this. Samuel said, "God doesn't look on the outward. He looks at the heart." Amen. So we're not fooling we may be fooling others. We sometimes even fool ourselves by changing our costumes. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not talking about how we sometimes behave differently, you know, a little bit different at home. We let down some of our barriers. I'm talking about drastic changes. People who are living an entirely different lifestyle than what they portray when they want to be religious. But the scripture says that nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In the book of Hebrews, it says that the word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, as in the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We can dress ourselves up any way we want, but God sees our heart. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But you notice, I read verse 8 and verse 10. In the middle of those two verses, it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. God is not asking us to wear the appropriate outer garment necessarily. He's not requiring us to pass a test on Sunday morning so that we can live the rest of the week that we want, the way we want to, but he's asking us to come to him with an open heart and an open mind and an honest spirit and to confess our sins, and he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Praise God. Look at Leviticus 16:4. This is where the Old Testament is giving rules and guidelines for the priesthood. I've been reading the book of Hebrews, and I've been reading about the book of Hebrews. And there's a great deal there about the priesthood and how Jesus Christ is our great high priest, and how these requirements and guidelines for the priesthood only served for a time up until the time when the great high priest could come and be among us. But God was very specific about what the priest could and couldn't do, and how he ought to dress and behave, and when he should do certain things. Verse 4 of chapter 16 says, he shall put on the holy linen coat. Everyone say holy. And he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and a linen mitre shall be, he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Now this was not a costume, because the priest wasn't pretending. He wasn't trying to be something else. He was being, this was his uniform. Now there's a difference between a costume and a uniform. A uniform serves a purpose. It has a function. And this was the priest. He was not allowed to wear these clothes any other time except when he was officiating in his office as priest. That's what it means to say that these things were holy. They were set apart. No other person could use them. They could not be used for any other purpose. Definition of a uniform is a special kind of clothing that's worn by all the members of a group or an organization, such as an army or a team. Round about September or October, people start showing up at church with these big shirts with large numbers on them. A lot of them are green with gold letters. Then there's those other really weird looking ones with the blue and the orange. You know what uniforms I'm talking about. They identify us. Our uniforms do. Another definition is a dress of a distinctive design or fashion worn by members of a particular group and serving as a means of identification. Distinctive or characteristic clothing. When we talk about uniforms, we think of firemen, policemen, people who dress a certain way to identify themselves. They dress for a purpose. Praise God. I think we have a Pentecostal uniform. I think there's such a thing as an apostolic uniform. I want to identify myself as a one God, tongue-talking, Jesus' name, holy rolling Pentecostal. Brother Grant has taught over the years about the principle of holiness. We mentioned holiness when we talked about the priests. Now, our holiness is not defined by how we dress. But our dress is contained within our holiness. And there are two principles that apply usually in the sense of holiness, and that is this, the principle of separation that we've already talked about with the priesthood, and then the separation of sexes, or modesty as well. So I guess we could say three. Separation and the two types of separation and modesty. Now, a lot of people, when you use that word modesty, immediately they look at you like you're speaking a foreign language, because it seems to have dropped out of our vernacular here in our culture. What is modesty? What does that mean? But those are two principles of holiness. Now, we could have a long discussion about, you know, what the appropriate apostolic uniform ought to be. We can talk about how long or how short or how much or how little. We can have a big discussion about that. But you cannot argue the fact that these principles are scriptural. And that there is a... But here's the problem. Sometimes we identify too much with our uniform and not enough with the principles. What's our purpose for wearing our uniform? Are we trying to project the holiness of God or the righteousness of the Christian? We want to make sure we have the right... Praise God. I don't always feel comfortable wearing costumes. I just feel weird because it's like I'm trying to... Unless I'm in a play or something. And that's the whole point of wearing a costume in a play, is because you're pretending to be somebody else. But I wear the uniform that I wear because I'm trying to identify myself in a particular place, or a uniform is a set of clothes that that identifies us for who we are. Then there's a suit. I wear a suit. A set of clothes that usually consists of a jacket and a skirt, or a pair of pants that are made out of the same material. A set of clothes or protective covering that is worn for a special purpose or under particular conditions. Another definition is a set of garments, an ensemble of two or more usually matching outer garments. Amen. A suit seems to have a certain place, and sometimes it can be a uniform. But I again come back to that principle of modesty, is that sometimes some clothes are suitable for certain circumstances and they're not suitable for others. I used to work in drywall. I worked for a long time for Stats and Harrop, and we had this thing that whenever the guys with the clipboards came on the job site, we'd say, the suits are here. we knew what that meant. We were all wearing either jeans or painter pants and T-shirts, and you know, we were all wearing a cap, maybe all full of mud and getting all dirty. And when the suits showed up, it was obvious. You know, these guys are not gonna pick up a pan of mud. They're not gonna start spraying paint on them. They're not gonna do any of that because they're dressed for something else. They're wearing suits. I went to the Memorial Day service in DeForest for part of the time, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be like. I didn't know how it was going to look like. I didn't know. I thought it was going to be a more formal thing. So I actually wore a shirt and a tie and dress slacks. And I rode my motorcycle over, and I got off my motorcycle and took off my helmet, and I see all these people walking over there in their tank tops and their shorts and T-shirts, and I think I looked at myself and I thought, this isn't suitable. So I took off my tie at least and put it away, and I got there, and there were several people that said, "What are you so dressed up for?" Well, I misunderstood. I was out of place. It wasn't wrong, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't really suitable. Amen. Look at Matthew 22. Verse 2, I'm going to read the whole story. Brother Fabian, it's hard for me to read straight through in English now because I'm always waiting for the translation. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding and that they would come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are hidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed and things are ready. Come unto the marriage.'" This is a big deal for this man. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to a merchandise. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.' So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?'" He's entering the marriage feast. And he was speechless. "Then said the king to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Now, of course, this is a king. He can do this. But the point is, there was a certain garment that was expected to be worn. There was a uniform. And Jesus was making the point that we must be dressed suitably to enter into the kingdom. Ephesians 4:22, and I'm sorry I didn't give this verse either, says, "You were taught with reference to your former way of life to lay aside the old man who is being corrupted in accordance with deceitful desires." This is what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus. You were taught this way, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on the new man who has been created in God's image in righteousness and holiness that comes from truth. Our religious world today tries to dress people up in righteousness. That if we say and do the right things on the outside, if we associate with the right people in the right places at the right times, if we attend church on a regular basis, if we do all the right outward things, then certainly we must be Christians. And we could talk about a whole spectrum of what people believe to be Christianity. From the most outwardly pious people to the people who are least pious outwardly, but still claimed to believe in Jesus. But in every case, unless they have put on the new man, unless the inner man has been renewed, unless there's been a change on the inside, all of our costumes, all of our uniforms, even if it's the right uniform, if there's not a change inside, if we haven't dealt with the sin issue, if we haven't dealt with what we've done in the past, if we haven't released people in forgiveness, if we haven't had our sins washed away, then all of the outward preparation does not do us any good. Praise God. We have to sometimes in life wear an appropriate costume because we're called on to go places and do things that we'd rather not. So we try and bear through the circumstance in order to be and do what we have to be for a short time. And that's understandable. Sometimes we're forced to dress ourselves up, and I'm not just talking about in clothing, but I'm talking about in behavior or attitude or conversation, to dress ourselves up in a way to rise to the occasion, to rise to the situation, maybe a circumstance that we're uncomfortable with, but we know that we need to go do that. And that's good. But when we make the decision to live our life by changing costumes based on the circumstance, we lose track of who we really are. And by putting on our Christian costume on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, and then going home and changing into our everyday lifestyle, that's not going to get it done. Praise God. Our God wants us to put on Jesus Christ. Amen. Galatians 3:26 through 29 says this: "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith, not through anything that we have done." The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Not because we have attended the appropriate amount of services, which I believe is important. Not because we have dressed appropriately for a given amount of time, which I believe is important. But because Jesus Christ has done something in our hearts and in our lives through faith and through the Word of God. Praise God. Let's stand. Verse 27 of Galatians 3 says, "For you were all baptized into Christ." You who were baptized into Christ have clothed, I'm reading from the New English Translation, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to his promise. A thing you hear people say oftentimes when you invite them to church, they say, I don't like going to church. There's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there. A hypocrite is someone who is pretending to be something they're not. But really what bothers us the most is when we feel like hypocrites. When we come to church and we feel like, yeah, this is not who I am. I can't do this. But we try and pretend. You don't have to pretend today. You don't have to look at the person next to you or the person in front of you and try and act like they do or be who they are. All we need to do this morning is put on Jesus Christ. What we need to do this morning is to lay aside, the Bible says to lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily besets us. Then we can run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. I don't want to wear a spiritual costume. I'm not even all that interested in just wearing a uniform unless it has a real purpose, has a real function in my life. So I want to look Pentecostal, not because I want to show that I'm a holy guy, but because I serve a holy God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if that's the kind of experience you want to have with God today, if that's the kind of life you want to live, then I want to encourage you to turn your life over to Jesus, to put on Jesus Christ. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, that the Bible says that's how we put on Jesus Christ. We take on the name of Jesus Christ in water baptism. Praise God. The Bible says that we can be in Him and He can be in us. Praise God. I just heard it described this way. We put on Jesus Christ when we are in Him, when we are baptized in His name, but He is in us when He fills us with His Holy Spirit. Praise God. You can have that experience. You can be filled with God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues before you leave today. But if you came this morning with your costume on, hey, you can leave that costume right here. You can turn it over to Jesus in prayer, and you can put on Jesus Christ and walk out here a new man today. Praise God. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you need to turn your life over to Jesus, I want to encourage you to come down and stand on this side and open your heart to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here. We can feel His presence. It's a real thing that you're feeling right now, and we're feeling it too. So come and let Jesus fill you up with His Spirit. If you're carrying something that you've struggled with for some time, you can lay it on the altar here in prayer. If you're struggling with a problem or a situation or even an addiction, whatever it is that you can't seem to get the victory over, come right down in the middle here, and we'll help you pray about that. I believe Jesus Christ is a deliverer. Praise God. He can deliver us from the difficulties that we struggle with. He can deliver us from the problems in our own spirit. Hallelujah. He can give us victory over temptation. You need healing today. I believe Jesus Christ is a healer. I have prayed for people and seen them healed. Many of us here, most of us here, have had that experience at one time or another. He is our healer. Come on down on this side and we can pray for your healing. We believe that Jesus Christ will meet with you and touch you. Praise God. I believe it. This is going to be the summer of signs and wonders and miracles. I've been praying for God to do that, and I have to believe that He's going to answer that prayer. Let's put on Jesus Christ. Let's take off our costumes. Let's even forget about our uniforms for a minute and put on Jesus Christ and leave here full of the Holy Ghost. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul said. Who thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. But he became a servant. Praise God. Let's put on Jesus Christ.